Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Carol Markowitz joins us. Also, Lauren Chen. We talk about trans issues, big dogs, and so much more. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. As we go into this culture-focused episode of the Charlie Kirk Show, including, will Ron DeSantis run for president in 2024? Support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. We are here at the Young Women's Leadership Summit in Dallas, Texas. TPUSA.com is the place where you can get engaged and get involved and start a high school or college chapter today. TPUSA.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. With us right now is Carol Markowitz. Welcome back to the program.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
So you moved to Florida because of Ron DeSantis largely, right?
Largely because of Ron DeSantis' leadership, yeah.
So I want to talk about DeSantis. I was kind of talking about this with Libby from the Post-Millennial. How much of DeSantis' success do you think is the policies versus his ability to present them?
I think it's both. I think it's the fact that he comes up with really innovative policies and stands behind them in a way that I don't think we see very often from Republican politicians. Mm-hmm. He doesn't fold at the first sign of, you know, criticism or when he gets any pushback. And so I think that we're just not used to seeing that, especially from a governor. I think that, you know, we saw some of that with Trump, but what DeSantis is doing is very different because, it, you know, just governing in that way is a different animal than just talking like that.
Yeah, it's just it really is the question of what kind of importance is the ability to communicate to a population. I mean, I travel all across the country and everyone loves DeSantis.
Yeah.
They love him.
Right.
And they love him because of his boldness and his courage. But, you know, if he just kind of was unable to really talk well and did all those things, you got to wonder if he would still.
Yeah.
Get the same sort of coverage.
Right. And again, I don't know if it's the talking so much as the action of not getting off his hand and just kind of like standing behind what he's doing. I think Disney is a great example. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of politicians would have immediately folded when Disney pushed back. They're a big corporation in my state, very important. I have to keep them happy. And DeSantis was like, no, I'm going to win this exchange. Watch me.
How is that shaken out? I mean, Disney had their tax benefits cut.
Yeah. Well, it's still in development. But you know, we don't hear anything from Disney, right? It's been kind of quiet.
But he signed it into law though, didn't he?
No, it's going to be like a little while before it becomes, official.
But did he sign the law?
It's not, I don't think it was a executive order. I think it was, something that has to pass through the legislature and it's going to be a bit.
I think it did though, didn't it? No.
No, okay. Not yet. No.
Okay. So do you think he's going to run for president?
You know, it's so tough. Do I think so? Yeah. Do I want him to? I got to Florida in January, definitely wanting him to run for president. But now that he's my governor, I kind of want to keep him my governor for a while. But look, yeah, I think he's positioned really well to run for president. I think he'd be an amazing candidate and it'd be a loss for Florida, but a gain for the nation.
What is the consensus you think in Florida? I mean, it used to be kind of a battleground state and now it's tilted.
So, it's funny because Floridians are very worried about this new influx of people. I have not met a single person who's moved to Florida in the last 2 years who's been a liberal, not one. And I've met tons and I've had so many people reach out to me, but just in, you know, living my life in Florida, you'll be like, oh, I moved here in January. They'll be like, oh, we moved here last year. Conservatives, all. So what I always say is, you know, the people that you have to worry about are the ones who moved here there before Ron DeSantis, the ones who moved there a decade ago for the weather and the taxes and whatever. Yeah. Those are the liberals. The liberals are not the ones who have escaped New York or California or other places and moved to Florida during the pandemic. Those people are conservatives and you don't have to worry about them.
Yeah. It's this awesome test case in like the creation of a free state.
Yeah.
Basically.
Right.
And so is the gun issue a big issue in Florida right now?
So, you know, again, it's like such a funny thing in Florida where everybody owns a gun and it's really not such an issue. It's not like it is, for example, in New York, where they're going to be raising the age to 21. And it's just a different vibe. Even the people sort of that I have met that have been on the left, again, who did not get there in the last 2 years, own guns, defend gun ownership. It's a completely different situation.
So what other stories are you looking at and working on?
So, I still write a lot about New York. I still love New York, but, they're masking toddlers to this day. I have a story in the New York Post today. I know, crazy. Like, that is a real thing. And when I tell people that, they can't believe it. They're literally still masking 2 to 4 year olds in New York City. It's the cover story of the Post today.
What is their rationale?
They have no rationale. No, they are absolutely not giving any. I mean, their official story is you can't vaccinate that age group. But yeah, you can't vaccinate that age group because they're really not susceptible to poor outcomes from COVID. I mean, that's why they were at the back of the line. If 2 to 4 year olds were dying of COVID, they would have been the first people we vaccinated, but they're not. And so to treat them like 85-year-olds is really just insane.
Yeah, I believe it's a scheme to try to get children to have no memory of freedom, that they know nothing but how to be controlled.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, just the fact that, you know, now when the vaccine does hit for them, you must get it for your 2 to 4 year old.
Or is that right?
Well, yeah, you're going to have to. Otherwise, you know, who knows what kind of life they're going to live in.
It's amazing. Why are New Yorkers putting up with this?
That's been the worst part for me. I mean, I was a lifelong New Yorker. I was so pro New York. I thought we were so tough.
And I used to be. Yeah. I think, but it's not the same city it used to be.
It's totally different.
It was the city where firefighters and civilians ran into burning buildings and united. It was the toughest. They're like, oh, we're New York tough. They've kind of become soft. Would you agree?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The videos that come out where somebody's getting beat up on a subway and everybody's like just sitting
watching
or filming.
Yep.
Like the woman who got her hair pulled recently and the whole subway just sat there. Like I would have stepped in. I'm just like a 5'4" woman and I would have 100% stepped into that interaction. And yet these men are like sitting around in the subway car not saying a word. And that's not the New York I knew at all.
No, I think that's exactly right. But it's this kind of this paralysis across the country of just kind of the spectation of evil.
Yeah.
Right?
If I film it, that'll be enough. That'll be my help.
Or they don't quite know what to do, or it requires too much testosterone that they don't have or something. Yeah. I mean, New York has just completely lost its way.
Yeah. It's really unfortunate. I hate that that's the case. I still have a lot of family in New York. I definitely don't want to see it be a collapsed city, but it's in a bad place and it doesn't show any signs of heading in a better direction. And I don't see who the leadership will be that will dig New York out of this hole.
I mean, and Eric Adams, I don't think he's improved anything post De Blasio.
Yeah, no.
In some ways worse, which is hard to believe.
No.
So what other stories are you working on?
So I focus a lot on Florida. I have a response piece. There was a piece by one of my colleagues in the Post this week by Steve Cozzo about how Florida sucks and how New Yorkers who move there will be back in 5 years.
The New York Post wrote that?
Yeah.
Oh, what does he not like about Florida?
Oh my God. His reasons were ridiculous. And my response piece will be in the Post tomorrow. But, you know, things like alligators or, flood insurance is too high. I'm like, what are you even talking about? Flood insurance is too high? We have no state income tax. Like, get back to me when you've reached that level. But gators, I've seen rats the size of gators in New York City subways. Like, now I'm going to be worried about gators.
Did he really say gators?
Yes.
And this person got published in the New York Post?
Yes, he's a food writer who actually vacations in Florida quite a bit and writes about the restaurant scene there because the restaurants are, you know, a hot thing in Florida. And yet he wrote this ridiculous piece. Look, I get people in New York. I used to call myself a New York supremacist. And like, I get it. I also used to be very defensive of New York. But you have to be honest about why people left and be back in 5 years. Like, what do you think? People move their families to another state only to return to New York in 5 years? Because what's going to be better?
I mean, I used to love going to New York, worked a lot, did a lot of things there. Yeah. It's awful.
Yeah.
I mean, Andrew is doing everything he can to get me to go there. It won't happen. It's just not, it won't happen.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's unsafe. It's dirty. People are nasty and mean. And like you said, they're super weak and it pains me. I used to love New York.
No, same. I, you know, again, I'm rooting for it. I hope to be wrong. I hope that New York turns around. It doesn't mean I'll be back. I'm done. You know, I with my kids, like that's it. You can't just snip snap with your kids. So I'm finished with New York, but I hope New York recovers and I root for it all the time.
Yeah, I used to feel that way about Chicago. I had a great deal of pride in Chicago. And the city's dead. It's over.
It's too bad.
It's just hard to see. Have you looked at how much of Russia is inside your 401k or IRA? Did you know my friends at Pax Financial Group have zero investments in Russia through their biblical investment strategy? Those companies were screened out long ago because they didn't pass the treat people right test. One of the most important tenets of the Christian faith is to love your neighbor, and this includes to love your employees. Based on Pax's biblical responsible investment strategy, a company, domestic or international, is excluded from an investment from your portfolio if it violates our innate God-given fundamental rights. So Pax Financial is wonderful. They share our values. In fact, I know people that have switched to Pax Financial from our partnership, and they speak so favorably about it. Stop using the woke money managers. Pax Financial is rooted in biblical wisdom. So if you have $150,000 or more and would like to know more about biblical responsible investing at Pax Financial Group, text Charlie to number 74868. That's Charlie at number 74868. That's Charlie to number 74868. So you just take out your phone, text the number 74868, and type in Charlie to get to know about Pax Biblical Responsible Investing. Biblical Responsible Investing Strategy. Take out your phone, text Charlie to 74868. They're about to manage some money for me. I really think highly of Pax Financial. Text Charlie to number 74868. You said in New York City, your daughter, when she was there, she knew multiple people in fourth, fifth, and sixth grade.
Yeah, well,
that
so
were
she's in sixth
gender
grade.
Confused.
She's in sixth grade, and she knew tons of girls.
Like 5, 6, 10?
Like over 10.
In what kind of a population?
She went to one school when she was little, but she stayed in touch with everybody in that class. I would say like 8 girls in a 30-person class.
No, hold on. Wait, so 8 girls in a 30-person class
went by they, them.
Are trans.
I mean, yeah. Well, they say that they're
non-binary.
Gender non-binary. Because
8 out of 30, that's almost one third.
Yeah. And that's a true story. And then in the school she ended up going to, so many girls, and it's all girls. Like that's how you know it's a social contagion and not actually just people.
What do you mean? It's just girls that are the gender non-binary?
Well, so as Abigail Schreier wrote in her book, it is a social contagion gripping our girls. Girls reach this age of puberty and they feel uncomfortable and they're, not sure how they feel about their bodies. And suddenly they have this new out now where they're like, oh, I'm not feeling weird and bad about my body. I'm just gender non-binary, and they get to demand that everybody call them they, them. And boys are generally not doing this at that age. I'm not saying that there aren't boys who decide
that's
that they're
so
trans,
interesting. So
it's
disproportionate amount of girls.
Super disproportionate. Yeah.
I would think is it the opposite as it gets older?
So it really happens in this real age block of middle school and high school. That's where it grips these girls. They learn about it online and they decide that they want to do it. Now, are some of them going to snap out of it? Yeah. Are some of them going to be prescribed medicine before they snap out of it? Also.
So irreversible damage.
Yeah.
Which is, I think,
is the
name
title
of the
book.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so what Abigail writes is, for a lot of the kids who will be prescribed these drugs, they will have really lifelong problems, especially around, sex and love relationships.
Out of 30.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. It's literally insane. And you can't even say that. You just, in Brooklyn, you couldn't say this is crazy.
So people are just okay with.
Well, they get bombarded with this message that if you're not okay with your child being a they, you're risking them committing suicide, which is, something.
It's the opposite, though, actually.
Right. That's the whole thing. It's like we're living in the upside down. With Matt Walsh's new movie, What is a Woman? He interviews a brown professor who says that she, the problem is that we have to accept this kind of thing. Otherwise, these kids will commit suicide. And she goes into this whole rant about how, a chicken's a girl, but, the chicken can't commit suicide. There was a clip that circulated online. It was really great. But Matt Walsh is just sitting there like, this is crazy. This is not reality. We know a chicken is a female and that's it. So
it's just extraordinary. Yeah, we got, I mean, how many do you think then, so 8 out of 30 would be trans super quick. How many would also then be like lesbian or bi?
You know, I wonder about that. I wonder if like one or two of them actually aren't just gay and now they can't be, or they're encouraged to be something else entirely. And it, there's a lesbian liberal writer, Katie Herzig, who also writes about this, where she says, where did all the lesbians go? Like, they just don't exist anymore. Anytime a woman thinks that she's gay, she's also a man. It's like the patriarchy is winning. Why aren't the feminists realizing this?
It's the last gasp of a dying civilization when you're so focused on gender, your currency is worth nothing, and you let a bunch of people in from other countries. And you declare war on other countries and send $40 billion to Ukraine. What a disaster. Look, as you know, our friend Mike Lindell has amazing passion, and especially has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing My Slippers. For a limited time, you'll save $90 on a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last, so order now. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop this. The My Slippers are designed to wear indoors, out all day long. Made with My Pillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. Made with quality leather suede. Call 800-875-0425 or click on promo code Kirk or MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use promo code Kirk. This offer will not last long, so order now with promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com. We are joined by Lauren Chen, who is a social and political commentator.
Yes.
That's a fair way to put it.
It's anything but vlogger, I would
say. Anything but vlogger.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
What do you have to do to become a vlogger?
I mean, pretty much just film yourself and put it on the internet. It's a very low bar, which is why I try to avoid it. And usually what you're filming is like putting on makeup or you just doing pranks, bro. So.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that when I talk to younger audiences, when I know we have a societal problem is when I ask them, what do you want to do when you grow up? They're like, I want to be an influencer.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, there's nothing good that's going to come out of this.
Yeah. I have my husband's little cousin. She's like 9 or 10 and she wants to be a YouTuber. She actually for Christmas asked for like a ring light and stuff. And I know it's strange because I have a YouTube channel, but I'm actively trying to convince her against it. Like, you don't want this. You don't want this. Don't do this to yourself.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, if you want to know the road ahead, ask those coming back.
Yes.
Right? It's
exactly.
Like, you don't, there's nothing fulfilling, actually. There's other things in life. So introduce yourself to our audience. You have a big following and are well respected. So you're from Canada originally?
Yes, I'm originally from Canada, but I grew up...
Hong Kong, you said, right?
Yeah, I grew up in Hong Kong where my father is from. So pretty much my parents' birthplaces just hate liberty right now, which is okay. A little bit depressing. Things aren't going so great in the homeland. But yeah, I'm in Nashville. We love Tennessee. And I do YouTube videos as well as write some articles. I like to talk about politics and culture and the way that the two intersect, which mm-hmm. I think, you know, politics is downstream from culture. And I think for the longest time, the right was losing young people because we were so focused on politics and not on culture. And I wish I could just throw Thomas Sowell's Basic Economics at a young person and have them be a conservative. But we know it doesn't work like that.
Yeah. So a lot of different ways we can kind of venture through this conversation. What are stories that are really getting you fired up that you're gonna talk about with our audience, or that you think that people should know about?
Well, the panel that I'm speaking at today is about media influencing, or just how they've really, I guess, co-opted the narrative of what it means to be a woman. And they've essentially politicized an entire gender. Mm-hmm. I think it's great that there's an entire event dedicated to young conservative women, because I feel like, you know, the left has done a really great job convincing women that their identity is really to be progressive, to be a leftist. When you look at the actual fruits of feminism, though, what women are unhappier than mm-hmm. they've ever really been in modern history under feminism. Our families are suffering if we're even having them at this point. It's just, it's not been a good role for women lately. And still the media perpetuates this myth that, you know, conservative women either don't exist or they have internalized misogyny or they've been brainwashed or you name it.
Yeah. So why, I mean, feminism is kind of this remarkable walking contradiction mm-hmm. lately. It all depends on what you define of first wave, second wave, third wave, whatever. But generally, feminism is rooted in hatred of men and kind of just like the overemphasis of.
Yeah. Misandry. I think that's fair.
Yeah. So we've kind of lived under that construct for the last couple decades, I guess, say. And we now have like incredibly miserable people that don't have children and are not married.
Yes.
And the patriarchy, if it ever existed, well, that's not going well.
Well, I mean, I think the one hope that I have for like womanhood is that feminism has ironically destroyed what it means to be a woman. So my only hope is that the Leah Thomases of the world do better with womanhood than those of us who essentially let feminism, this political movement, really chip away at what it means to be a woman and what makes womanhood mm-hmm. special or desirable or, I guess, aspirational.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess politically and otherwise, or even culturally, where do you think we are? I mean, do you think conservatives are finally starting to take some ground and some terrain?
I think culturally it's starting to go that way. You know, I'm not saying that the average person is more likely to, let's say, support a flat tax than before, right? Because like those types of things, they're really more policy oriented. It's not necessarily a thing that's going to change overnight in pop culture. But I think we are starting to at least see a rejection of leftist principles, especially the far left. Because what we have in Hollywood, especially now, is not just left wing, which the entertainment business has always been. It's actually far left identitarian politics, which people are now getting sick of. Mm-hmm. You know, we see that in a rejection of like get woke, go broke. That's pretty mainstream to say now. So my hope is that, you know, by rejecting the far left, I guess, culturally, eventually the political will follow. And I think, you know, kind of what we're seeing in schools right now, that's a great merger of the cultural and political, right? These cultural Marxists are coming in with all their crazy gender ideologies and they're trying to indoctrinate kids. That's scary. And the answer to that is political and people are jumping on board that. So I'm kind of hopeful that things are starting to turn, but we're nowhere near there yet.
Yeah, I mean, and it's the trans issue in particular is so bizarre to me.
Yeah.
Why do you think people are so afraid to talk about it honestly and openly?
It's really confusing to me, right? I remember the first YouTube video I ever did 6 or 7 years ago was about the whole transgender issue. And I remember specifically at the time I got conservatives saying, this doesn't matter. No one cares about this. Yeah. This is a fringe issue. These are crazies on Tumblr. Who cares? Fast forward like 6 years later, now we have the White House coming out in favor of gender affirming care for children. So like actual like
chemical castration
for children. So slippery slope is slippery and it's very fast. And I guess I never would have been able to predict that it would have snowballed this fast, but mm-hmm. they've done a great job. I guess the left specifically has done a great job almost like astroturfing this movement and convincing everybody like, okay, now there's 700 genders. And it's always been this way, actually. Like, what, you think there's only two? What's wrong with you? That's anti-science. It's like, really? Because I feel like yesterday,
it's a even, massive gaslighting operation.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they're really good at it.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I guess it's, I see more and more people waking up to it, but there's this hesitancy for people to engage on it.
Yeah.
Because they want to be liked and they want to be considered.
No one wants to be a bigot.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one wants to look someone in the eyes who is trans and say, no, you're not. Like, you're not who you think you are.
I've done that.
Yeah.
Right? Lovingly, though. I mean, we have the videos.
But we see. Yeah. We see what people do to you when you say that. And I think a lot of people, they don't want to go through that, which I understand.
Yeah, and I mean, the kind of crusader here recently has been Matt Walsh. He'll be with us later today.
He's great.
Kind of a pioneer on this. And to his credit, he's been on this topic for like a long time.
Yeah.
Like a lot longer than I have. And I think he has a way of talking about it that is pretty rational and reasonable and convincing. But, and so I think here's an important component to this though, is that some people are under the assumption still that, oh, like, who cares what you do with your body? I won't tell you what to do. And we did a whole podcast on this Monday, right? Was that Monday we did that? Tuesday. I'm sorry. It was a shortened week because of Memorial Day, where we talked about the country that I grew up in. I was naive enough to believe that these people would leave us alone as long as they got, you know, chop off their genitals.
Yeah.
When in reality,
they just want gay marriage, bro.
Yeah, right. But isn't it interesting how gay marriage rates didn't go up?
Yeah.
Post-Overfell?
It's almost like they didn't actually want it. They just wanted the political power. Interesting.
Hot take. That's, yeah, we'll have the alphabet mafia coming in here at any time. They'll be scaling the walls with their flags. Demanding justice or whatever they do. That's right. They're too busy putting flags up on the U.S. Treasury building in the Vatican.
Yeah.
It's all about political power. That's exactly right. But I mean, part of my challenge is trying to break out like normie conservatives, mm-hmm. of which I was naive. I used to be kind of, you know, oh yeah, libertarian on this issue. Like,
yes.
Who cares?
Yeah. Live and let live.
Yeah, that's how I used to be like five or six years ago. Like, oh yeah, you can do whatever you want. Like, who am I to, what's wrong with, like, what's your argument of why that is foolishly naive?
Well, I think that philosophy only works when it's reciprocal. And I think what we've seen is that this is very much not a reciprocal. The left does not want to live and let live. And I remember when I first started talking about the issue of gender, people would say, why does it affect you? Why do you care?
I might have said that 5 years ago.
Right.
I think I was young and naive.
Yeah. And I think a lot of us could not have predicted how authoritarian the left actually is. So we might say live and let live. But guess what? They're the ones who are enacting laws that mandate you refer to them by whatever crazy pronoun they want. They're the ones who are pushing their ideologies into schools, into companies.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. They're removing custody from parents who don't want their kids to transition. This, we are well past a live and let live situation.
Yeah. And it was we have an expression that it started as live and let live, but it's really live and let them rule.
Yes.
Which is like, oh yeah, we're going to give them all the political power and they can do whatever they want. And there really is no middle ground. I think you said it best. The proper word for this is reciprocity, right? So we can live in a free society if both sides kind of have a detente and they're willing to kind of just allow kind of maxims to go without over judgment or whatever. And what's hilarious is that conservatives are the ones that are still trying to live in that country.
Yeah. I think those conservatives, Will Chamberlain says it best. You have peacetime and wartime conservatives.
Yeah,
I think we are in wartime. And I think there are too many David Frenches still in the conservative movement who
I don't think he's part of the conservative movement.
I think you're right.
I met him here, actually, I think in Dallas at this building. And he was nice, but his arguments are so dumb.
Yeah.
Like it's just, there's nothing there.
Yeah. I mean, he's essentially made the argument many times. I mean, like, drag queens are a blessing of liberty. I don't know what to say to that. And I mean, if nothing else, I think this is a good example of why conservatism was really, dead amongst our generation for the longest time. It's because of that attitude. And that's why I look at, some of the fired up young Gen Z conservatives, and they are much more engaged. They're much more on the offense. And I think that is so necessary.
Yeah. And so that might be an unintended consequence. And you're speaking to our young women's deal just momentarily.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see that the kind of intensity these young ladies have for these gender issues and stuff, it's like the shackles are kind of off.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, the millennial activists that we had at Turning Point USA 5 or 6 years ago, we never talked about like the gender stuff. It wasn't like front and center.
Right.
And if I would have taken a poll, and I think it'd be an interesting poll to take actually of kind of, do you support gay marriage or whatever? Just as a guess, 5 or 6 years ago, majority would have been like, yeah, I'm fine with it. Now I don't think that's the case. I now think there is kind of this rebirth of like, this is not the free society I thought I was going to be living in at all.
Yeah. The slippery slope is very real. And I think even like myself, when you mentioned stuff like gay marriage, it's like, oh yeah, well, I don't really care if they get married, like, government is whatever. I don't really have a big problem with it. But I think, that argument of why it should be legal, that was really the first step in kind of opening the door all of this we're seeing now.
Yes. It was. And I was so naive.
Same.
And I just thought, you were ahead of me on the gender video and stuff, but like thinking that somehow that they were going to stop.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like an imperial conquest. Like Napoleon only stops when Napoleon is stopped.
But I think it's a learning experience and nothing else. And I look at conservatives who are still not on the money. They still don't know what time it is. And it's like, we don't have time for that. That's why I love Trump. That's why I love DeSantis.
Yes. That's the most important point. You have to know what time it is. And you have to adjust accordingly. I mean, I say this all the time. I'd love to live in, 1806 in the free society of like agrarian roots, and that live and let live. I could live and let live in 1806.
Right.
Right. That country is not around. Do you have a dog?
I do have a dog, Jelly Bean. She's amazing.
What kind of dog is it?
A Leon Burger.
You have to get Ruff Greens. Do you know what Ruff Greens is?
No.
I'll send you a free bag.
No,
it's ruffgreens.com. It's not a dog food. It is a supplement that you put on your dog's food. And they're one of our sponsors now. Ruffgreens.com is amazing. Ruffgreens.com is terrific. It is a supplement that you sprinkle on your dog's food, and you could check it out right now, Lauren, but I will give you a free bag because you're based. And so it's ruffgreens.com/Charlie, ruffgreens.com/Charlie. Your free bag will be at your house in a few days. And all you have to do is cover a small shipping charge. Jelly Beans, what kind of dog is it?
She is a Leon Burger. She's 140 pounds of love.
What?
Yeah.
A Leon Burger?
Yeah. She is like, my thing is like specialty niche dog breeds, but she is huge.
Is that like a German type?
Yeah, it's German.
Sounds like it. Leon Burger sounds like a military operation.
She is very much not a military dog.
Yeah, it's like, bring in the Leon Burger. Roughgreens.com/Charlie would help her out.
Yeah, her out. Yeah.
That's quite the name for a 140-pound dog. Jelly
But she's
bean.
A jelly bean at heart.
Mouse was taken.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people assume bear, but no, she's a jelly bean.
This is beast. I'm sorry. No, actually, it's not. Roughgreens.com/Charlie. You have a picture of it? What? Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, that's what she is.
This is like a Game of Thrones dog.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. I want to tell you about Good Ranchers. Look, Father's Day is coming up, and I know a lot of dads out there would love nothing more than a box of meat. Summer grilling season, barbecues, grill outs, big summer holidays are on the horizon. And I know a lot of people are saying, what do I get dad for Father's Day? The best thing to get him on Father's Day is something from GoodRanchers.com. Food shortages are on the rise. And I want to tell you about this limited time deal. Don't miss out on your free 18-ounce ribeye because they won't be here for long. These steaks are truly amazing and you'll love them. Good Ranchers is giving away 2 free-ounce, 18-ounce prime center cut ribeyes. They are USDA prime, 100% American steakhouse quality cuts of beef. Other places will charge you over $50 a steak for ribeyes like these, but today you can get two of them for free at goodranchers.com with promo code Kirk. That's goodranchers.com, promo code Kirk. Good Ranchers quality is amazing, everybody. Ribeyes, T-bones, chicken, salmon, and more. It is a great thing to give your father for Father's Day. With uncertainty in supply chains and what the grocery stores will have available, Good Ranchers is a reliable place to get your essentials. They send you a box of meat. So they basically send you a box of happiness. Enough of this vegan fake meat stuff. It's all a scam. It's a con. It's creating all sorts of weird things in our society. Get back to red meat. Get back to real things that matter. Having Good Ranchers in your home supports the Charlie Kirk Show, supports American ranchers, and feeds your family. So go to goodranchers.com and use promo code Kirk, and it will give you 2 free-ounce, 18-ounce prime setter cup ribeyes. goodranchers.com/Kirk. And again, American meat delivered. Say that again. Write it down and remember it. American meat delivered. Again, the 2 ribeye steaks, over $100 value. I want to tell you, I love meat. You should too. Even if you don't like meat, tell the person who does to check out goodranchers.com. A box of beautiful meat and 2 free ribeyes can be yours right now. Check it out. goodranchers.com, promo code Kirk. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. I want to tell you about Good Ranchers. Look, Father's Day is coming up, and I know a lot of dads out there would love nothing more than a box of meat. Summer grilling season, barbecues, grill outs, big summer holidays are on the horizon. And I know a lot of people are saying, what do I get dad for Father's Day? And the best thing to get him on Father's Day is something from GoodRanchers.com. Food shortages are on the rise. And I want to tell you about this limited time deal. Don't miss out on your free 18-ounce ribeye because they won't be here for long. These steaks are truly amazing and you'll love them. Good Ranchers is giving away 2 free-ounce, 18-ounce prime center cut ribeyes. They are USDA prime, 100% American steakhouse quality cuts of beef. Other places will charge you over $50 a steak for ribeyes like these, but today you can get 2 of them for free at goodranchers.com with promo code Kirk. That's goodranchers.com, promo code Kirk. Good Ranchers quality is amazing, everybody. Ribeyes, T-bones, chicken, salmon, and more. It is a great thing to give your father for Father's Day. With uncertainty in supply chains and what the grocery stores will have available, Good Ranchers is a reliable place to get your essentials. They send you a box of meat. So they basically send you a box of happiness. Enough of this vegan fake meat stuff. It's all a scam. It's a con. It's creating all sorts of weird things in our society. Get back to red meat. Get back to real things that matter. Having Good Ranchers in your home supports the Charlie Kirk Show, supports American ranchers, and feeds your family. So go to goodranchers.com and use promo code Kirk, and it will give you 2 free-ounce, 18-ounce prime setter cup ribeyes. goodranchers.com/Kirk. And again, American meat delivered. Say that again. Write it down and remember it. American meat delivered. Again, the 2 ribeye steaks, over $100 value. I want to tell you, I love meat. You should too. Even if you don't like meat, tell the person who does to check out goodranchers.com. A box of beautiful meat and 2 free ribeyes can be yours right now. Check it out. goodranchers.com, promo code Kirk. All right. What else are you going to share with the audience today?
Let's see. Well, I recently had a baby.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And, you know, I I was very done with being pregnant by the end of it. And then I was like in the delivery room all of a sudden. And then I realized, wait, I have to get this baby out of me. And I had not prepared at all. And I think it was for the best because it was just like, it just happened. But it was great. You know, the baby is the cutest thing ever. I have to actively stop myself from like sharing photos on social media and boring people. But the whole my birth story kind of came at a really interesting point politically, because we are very much talking about Roe versus Wade, and the issue of abortion up until birth is for some reason up for discussion. And I remember like I was like in the hospital still, and there were people who were pretty much arguing like, oh, well, it's a woman's right to be able to, you know, end this baby's life. And I had just delivered, and it was crazy.
They said that during labor?
No, well, not to me specifically. Thankfully, the nurses had a better bedside.
That's kind of strange. I was going
to say, like, by the way, it's not too late to back out.
Exactly. Like, hey, just so you know, there's still a window here. Like, not now.
But I mean, people do want there to be a window, actually.
Yeah.
And we hear a lot of arguing like, oh, but the health of the mother, people have brought this up. If the baby is viable, there's no reason why you should abort it versus just delivering it. And actually, I had to be induced because I had high blood pressure. Mm-hmm. They were worried about preeclampsia and things like that. So it was actually, I was one of those cases where the pregnancy was apparently not good for my health. That's why they induced me. The answer was to induce and deliver the baby, not abort, i.e. murder the baby. Mm-hmm. Like, we are talking about, I believe life begins at conceptions, but at the very least, we should be able to agree that, okay, if the thing is viable, this is a human life and there's no justification for ending it.
Yeah. And it's just the whole premise of the pro-abortion argument is that life is a burden, mm-hmm. and that, you know, the strong should be able to dominate the weak, and that we have no moral obligation to protect those that can't protect themselves.
Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, I've grown up kind of all over the place. I've lived in the UK as well. And America is kind of an outlier in the way that it talks about abortion. I know the left likes to make it seem like it's a Christian theocracy that we're living in. But Europe has stricter abortion restrictions. I mean, it's not really up for debate in the rest of the civilized world that yes, this is a life. You know, mm-hmm. it feels pain. It has a heartbeat. It has brainwaves.
It goes both ways. It's so fascinating. So it's in the United Kingdom, they have stricter abortion laws than we do,
right?
Federally, but they also don't have a pro-life movement like we do.
Yeah.
So it's so interesting. Like, they don't have like pro-life advocacy even close to what we have. So that's why I think the reversal and repeal of Roe versus Wade will be great, because it sends it back down to the states as a first step, and that's good. And let states make mm-hmm. their own decisions.
Right. And I think it's kind of interesting the way the media has framed Roe versus Wade, because I swear a lot of the women who are marching for the right to abort their own offspring, they believe that Roe versus Wade will institute pretty much the Handmaid's Tale government, which is absolutely not the case, like you were saying. And I've even, you know, I've been listening to even the Young Turks, Cenk Uygur, for all of his faults. He actually was surprisingly honest in talking about Roe versus Wade and saying that, yes, there are even pro-choice legal scholars who admit that Roe was not a good legal ruling. Because
it was a terrible ruling.
Right. Because it's not in the Constitution.
Yes. And it was a created right. It was done by I always get this confused. Either the Warren Court or the Berger Court, which was Berger, Connor? It was Berger. See, it's always the second one. 7-2 decision. And it was just it was a drive-by shooting of the Constitution. Mm-hmm. It was an absolute disaster. How could people follow you and support you?
Sure. You can find my videos by searching Lauren Chen on YouTube, BitChute, Rumble, and Odyssey. And on social media, I'm at the Lauren Chen pretty much everywhere. Twitter, Instagram, Getter, and Telegram.
It's a lot of alternative media.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of banking on that. YouTube does not like me. So.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, Facebook, even one of the leaked memos Project Veritas had, I was named specifically as a troll. So, you know.
Is it true?
That I'm troll. I like to troll them. I don't know if I'm a troll in general, though. Still better than a vlogger, though.
Better than a vlogger. Yeah. And so you're speaking momentarily at our Young Women's Leadership Summit, and you're living in Nashville, and you're coming out with a book at some point. It's like the obligatory thing you have to do.
Oh, well, I'm going to try to wrangle the baby a little bit more, and then maybe a book. But I feel like I would throw a curveball, and it would just be straight up fiction, like not anything to do with politics, just like zombie apocalypse. Let's go.
It's so much more realistic than what we're living through right now. I think that would be comforting. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Lauren, thank you so much for joining us. I think our students are going to really enjoy you.
Thanks for having me.
Hearing from you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
On the child. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.